Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians today, chapters 4 and 5. So if you want to find that in your Bible, I'm going to pray, read through these passages, pause for some devotional thoughts and application at the end before I close in prayer. And I just encourage you to follow along as I read, be taking it in, thinking about it yourself, and what is God trying to say to you through His Word? What is He asking you to do? Father, thank you for your word and thank you for your spirit. Help me right now as I read to be able to understand what you're saying and to be able to know what I'm supposed to do with it. And I rely on you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. I'll stop there just for a moment. So this is the Apostle Paul talking about his ministry. And I appreciate what he says, just that they preach God's word, set it forth plainly. Because there were a lot of other teachers around, a lot of false teachers around that were being very deceptive. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So pause there for a moment to say, Satan has blinded people's eyes. So we wonder, why can't people see the simplicity of the gospel? That's why. And yet, it is God's word. We point people to him through Jesus Christ, and he is the one that does the work. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul says, you know, listen, we're living for the gospel. We're living for Jesus. So sometimes we go through suffering, sometimes even death, martyrdom. But whatever we go through, it's for Jesus' sake. Verse 13, it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's the end of chapter 4. But great words from the Apostle Paul. Most of us will not go through the kind of trouble that he went through, and those in the first century, but it still fits whatever it is that we're going through, especially as it relates to living out the gospel. This is about eternal things. This is not about trying to get out of suffering. This is about how is God using even things like COVID-19 to sharpen our faith, to make us more like him and more attractive for the gospel. Chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. For anyone who has physical handicaps, diseases, anything that you're struggling with, you're sick, hurting, in pain, there is this groaning for a new body. And it is coming. But in the meantime, there's a reason for this. Verse 5, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Again, the Holy Spirit being that guarantee, that deposit. All of this is according to God's will. All of the suffering is so that we can be prepared for eternity. Verse 6, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. All right, we should pause there for a moment just to say that, it's great to consider when we're away from this body, we will be with the Lord. We don't know exactly how that's going to look or the timing of everything, but we can rest in that. And we groan for that. We want that to happen. But we live by faith, not by sight, as Paul says. So we trust Him. But we also understand that there is a judgment seat. Now, this judgment seat of Christ is not the same judgment that we read about those who are going to spend eternity away from God in punishment in hell. This is the judgment, really, of works, of what have we done for Christ that's going to last, what's going to be burnt up, what's going to result in us being able to present these rewards to Christ. It's important. He wants us to know as we live in this earthly body through these difficult times that we must keep the end in mind. Verse 11, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the end of our reading for today. Man, there's a lot of good stuff in here. I need to consider and ask you to consider with everything that's here. Can't apply everything. What is God trying to say to my heart? I think the main thing that comes to my mind from this reading is that the groaning that I have, whether it is physical groaning, as I grow older, I have that. There's other types of suffering that comes through living for Christ and in ministry, and it's real for us, even though it may not be the same that the first century Christians went through. As of yet, it's still real. And for me in ministry, I certainly connect the Apostle Paul's heart of what's most important. And that there is trouble that comes with ministry. And so I take this today as an encouragement to my own heart, to make sure, also a challenge to remember what this is all about. This is about eternity stuff. This is not about trying to make everything right here, everybody comfortable here, everybody feeling good here, everybody looking good here. This is about Jesus. This is about reconciliation. This is about the gospel. This is about eternity. So for me, I want to keep that in mind today as I serve him. What is it that God is trying to say to your heart? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder of what you did for us in sending your son and the reconciliation he brings. It comes through his death, burial, and resurrection. He took on my sin. I'm so grateful for that. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit, who once again, Paul reminds us, is the guarantee, he's the deposit. I'm going to make it to you when I'm gone from this body, whenever it is, I'm with you. And Lord, the reminder that I will stand before you. And I want to be able to consider how I live my life now, even in some suffering or discomfort that I may have or things that I wish were different. The Lord, it's got to be all about you. So help me to remember that. Help me to do that today as I serve you and others. In Jesus' name, amen.